Half a league, half a league, half a league onward. All in the valley of death rode the 600. Forward the light brigade, charge for the guns, he said. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Forward the light brigade. Was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew. Someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply. Theirs not to reason why. Theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon in front of them, volleyed and thundered, stormed at the shot and shell. Boldly they rode and well, into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Sorry, got a bit carried away there. Hello, hello, hello. So I just thought I'd read the, I was reading the Charge of the Light Brigade by Tennyson. And what it was about is that it was a poem about a man who was insanely overpromoted because of what he represented. And it made the society of which he was a part kind of feel better, kind of feel good that he should be promoted, that he, that Lord Cardigan should be put in charge of the Light Brigade because he was an aristocrat. And there was a kind of feeling that in the great chain of being, it should be people that were nobility. It should be people that were aristocrats that were in charge of things. Because anything else was confusing and weird and might lead to social discord and things not working properly. And so therefore, his incompetence was overlooked because the fact of him being a member of the aristocracy and in charge was kind of how it felt right. It felt it was kind of how it should be. And the result of that was absolute massacre in which on the 25th of October 1854 190 men were killed, 160 were wounded, and 375 horses were massacred within minutes. Within minutes. But that was the way it was. And now we have a new aristocracy. And it's not an aristocracy based around noble ancestors, brilliant ancestors that have done brilliant things from whom you're descended. It's an aristocracy based around being marginal, perceived as marginalised, being perceived as in the pecking order of grievance, so the grievance hierarchy. And people feel better about themselves if they appoint to positions of power people that are on that grievance hierarchy. They feel that they are good people if they do that. It allays their feelings. But what that means is that you put into positions of power people that are incompetent. And in a way, that's it's a bit like, it's the wrong way round. It's a bit like parents empowering their children and treating their children as though they are their own parents. And this is very psychologically damaging. And in light of the Jason Ardaghan case, where we have a person who was clearly not very intelligent and mentally fragile, but yet made Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge University, and of course has just resigned as of the 5th of August 2026, that is what I want to look at today. Before I do that, I'm sorry I had to do this bit, but would you mind awfully, if you haven't, could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube and leave a like and leave a comment and hit the bell button and share it and all that stuff? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff I dare put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, such as my new film about Moldova and whether it will be the, you know, the Neo-Byzantium where civilization might hold out. And where, if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of just a pint of beer a month. OK, back to the video. So, as you all know by now, Jason Ardaghan was appointed Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge University, the pinnacle of achievement if you are an education researcher, in 2023. And it has become clear that he is not very intelligent, that his academic research is totally useless. It has spelling mistakes in it. It's just woke word salad. It's nonsense. Even his doctoral thesis from a not very good university has a punctuation error in the title. He plagiarized massively his doctoral thesis. His work is useless, absolute nonsense, and he's a complete and utter fantasist. And I've done another video about this, a total fantasist and a liar. He's probably quite high in narcissistic traits. Being a fantasist and an impulsive liar is associated, by the way, with borderline personality, which is when you have extreme emotions you can't control and you can't regulate, and you fear abandonment, and therefore and you're very, very depressed, unhappy, and therefore you lie. It's associated, he's very mentally fragile and not very intelligent man. And yet he has been thrust into this position of power and influence, and therefore subject to a huge amount of scrutiny. And something that, I mean, if he is autistic, he claims to be autistic, he probably isn't. I mean, if you look at him, interviews with him, he doesn't come across as autistic. He doesn't seem like Asperger. This idea that he couldn't speak until he was 11 years old or whatever, it's probably nonsense. But if it's true, those people are very mentally fragile. They can't cope with things. They can't cope with change. They get overwhelmed, and they have a relatively high suicide rate. So you could argue it is deeply, deeply, deeply irresponsible for people, for the committee that appointed him, Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge, to have placed him in that position. Likewise, the same at Glasgow University, but particularly at Cambridge, because it's so high profile. It was the wrong thing to do. So why did they do it? Well, as with those people that would have allowed you until 1871, you could purchase commissions in the British Army. And this, if you were an aristocrat, and this resulted in very incompetent and stupid things, people that shouldn't have been in charge being in charge, not there on merit, such as Lord Cardigan and the charge of the Light Brigade, such as Lord Lucan and the Battle of Balaclava, such as William Elphinstone, who was in charge in 1841 of the retreat from Kabul, which resulted in 16,000 people being killed, 12,000 of them civilians. I mean, it's going to have real consequences. And that's why in 1871, they got rid of the ability to purchase commissions. And you could only get a commission in the army if you were competent enough to get a commission in the army. But they did that because there was a system. There was an ideology based around aristocracy. And people kind of felt good and felt that it's the way things should be, that aristocrats should be in charge of various things. Now we have inverted the aristocracy. We have a new aristocracy, as I said earlier, based around the grievance hierarchy, based around being excluded and being part of a historically excluded group. And if you are liberal, which of course the academics that appointed Jason Ardaghan are, highly liberal, highly woke, we know about the psychology of these people. They are elevated in neuroticism compared to conservatives. They are elevated in negative feelings. They're elevated in anxiety and depression and low self-esteem. And at the same time, they have a strong desire, because they're individually oriented, the selfish people, for power. They have a desire for power, but they fear a fair fight. They fear a fair fight because they're so anxious and so forth. And so then try to get power is covertly. They play for status covertly by virtue signalling about marginalised groups and making it seem like, well, all I really care about is this marginalised group. That's all I really care about. I don't really want power. And therefore, it's a covert way to get power by seeming nice and making alliances with these marginalised groups and signalling your kindness so that you covertly gain power. That's what they do. And they tend to deal with these negative feelings as well by creating a narcissistic false self, by saying, I am, this is the current morality, wokeness, and I am the most moral. I am so moral. I am super moral. And therefore they tell themselves they are the most moral, and they want evidence. They need to prove to themselves and others that they are truly the most moral, to get narcissistic supply so they can feel that they are good. And of course, one of the ways that you can do that is by appointing a marginalized person to a position of power. Then you, a position of influence, then you feel, well, you are a good person, you are a kind person, you are a righteous person, you are not this insecure, you really are a good person. And so that is what they did. They got up. He wasn't just black, remember. He'd said, I suspect he was lying, but he said that he was an autistic. He said that he couldn't read till he could speak till he was 11. He couldn't write till he was 18. And they felt so good. It gave them this narcissistic supply, all of them as a group, to see what they'd done, to see their achievement in making a black neurodivergent person professor of the sociology of religion at one sorry professor of the sociology of education at one of the country's best universities. They felt so good about themselves, and it allayed their negative feelings. It allayed all of the negative feelings by which they're plagued, which made them have to be left-wing and pretend to be nice when really they're very selfish, as the studies indicate. That is what they did. Bugger the consequences for Jason Alday. Evidently, what is he? He's not very intelligent, probably about average IQ. He's a fantasist that lies about running marathons which he didn't run, that lies about pigs' heads being sent to his parents that weren't, that lies about people, masked people breaking in his department trying to attack him when it never happened, that lies about being on 7-Up, which was 20 years before he was born, that he that lies about having been a semi-professional footballer for Crystal Palace. He's a fantasist. And why are you a fantasist? Because you are a fragile, unhappy person. As I said earlier, being a fantasist is associated with borderline personality. It's associated with schizophrenia. It's associated with narcissism. It's associated with being a broken, unhappy person combined with not being very intelligent. You're not going to understand the consequences of your actions. You're basically like a child compared to these people that appointed him. These highly intelligent, albeit narcissistic, but highly intelligent people that appointed him. You're basically like a child. And so this brings me on to perhaps the most controversial thing I want to say, which I think that the committee that appointed him in some ways are comparable to child abusers. Why? Well, let's look at the idea of parentification. What is parentification? Parentification is when parents, normally mentally ill, mentally unstable, unhappy parents, effectively make their child into an adult. They force the child to do things that a child shouldn't have to do. The child has to look after its younger sibling or something like that, because the parents are so overwhelmed mentally and psychologically that they can't do so properly themselves. The child ends up being a referee in the huge fights that happen between the parents and tries to make the parents feel better, tries to be a container for the parents' feelings when it should be the other way round. The child tries to deal and manage the emotions of parents who are having basically mental breakdowns in front of it. The parents confide in and talk to and tell the child about how insecure and awful they feel when the child is expected to help them when it should be the other way round. In essence, the parents use the child to regulate their emotions when it should be the parent that is regulating the child's emotions. The parent can't cope and breaks down and cries and stuff like this, and the child is left trying to reassure the parent that it's okay. The parent has tantrums and snaps and goes mad like a child, and it's the child that reassures it. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It is a complete inversion of how things should be, the process of parentification. And naturally, what that teaches the child is that it's not the case that your parent should be a rock. Your parent should be the container of your emotions. Your parent should be the one saying to you it's okay. Your parent should be there for you to confide in while the parent is stolid and clear and everything's going to be all right in the end. And this imbues the child with a sense that the world is okay. The world is a good place. The world is a stable place. And everything will be okay. But this is not what happens with the parentified child. The opposite occurs. So this teaches the child that it is in charge. There is no one above it. There is no one beyond it. It's on its own. The world is an unstable and dangerous place. And there is nothing safe whatsoever about it. And the result is that in adulthood, these parentified children have depression, have anxiety, because they see the world as a dangerous, unstable, violent, difficult kind of place. It's the worst thing. These carers, these poor children, they end up being carers for mentally or physically ill parents. It's an absolutely appalling thing to do to a child, because that's what it teaches the child, that it's in charge. It makes the child an adult. It doesn't allow it to have a childhood. I don't particularly like Keir Starmer. A lot of viewers won't. But it seems that he's an example of being parentified. He had a mother who has severe rheumatism, and that everything had to be focused around her and her needs. And he actually said that there wasn't much room for emotion in our house. We were discouraged to express emotions. We weren't allowed to explore an emotional life or an inner life, because we all had to be focused on what was for the good of this mum that we had to look after. It's a terrible thing to do. And I think a lot of Keir Starmer's psychological problems, I think, go, and his inability to deal with things and his sort of rigidness, emotional rigidness, go back to that. Parentifying someone, making a child an adult, when actually the child should be a child and the adult should be an adult. And the adult should not put a child in a position of importance, in a position of power, in a position of influence. And it certainly shouldn't use the child to regulate its own emotions. That should be the other way round. The parent should help to regulate the child's emotions and should help the child to learn to regulate its own emotions. But this is what we have with Jason Arday. We have someone who, compared to the people that appointed him, is basically a child. He's intellectually a child. He probably has a sort of average IQ, maybe. And he's himself emotionally unstable, narcissistic, borderline, pathological liar, Walter Mitty, whatever. And they essentially kind of put him in charge in order to regulate their emotions so that they can feel good about themselves. So that these narcissistic left-wing people, left-wing academics, who are very intelligent, can feel good about themselves, can regulate their emotions. They get this person who's incompetent and no good, and they put him in a position of power and influence. And of course, the result is that he's subject to a huge amount of scrutiny, and then he's publicly humiliated, publicly destroyed. And Sir Simon Baron Cohen actually said, well, look, we need to stop this because this guy, he's autistic and they have a very high suicide rate and you're kicking this guy while he's on the ground and we need to stop it. Well, yes, but then clearly it was unwise to appoint such a fragile and unintelligent person to such a position of influence in the first place. It is the people around him who are utterly irresponsible, who have made him a pawn for their emotions, who have done this to him. Where really, he should just be a school PE teacher or something like that. That's what he's able to do. And if that happened, he wouldn't be subject. And he could be a bit of a Walter Mitty and a fan system. Nobody would care. And he wouldn't be subject to all of this scrutiny. Of course he wouldn't. That's why he's resigned, because he can't cope with the scrutiny. He can't cope with it. Why should he cope with it? If he was more intelligent, then he would have made different decisions in his life. And he wouldn't have gotten. There wouldn't have been all these anomalies and problems and plagiarism and all this stuff in the first place. But he was overpromoted in an utterly, utterly irresponsible way. In effect, a kind of child, in comparison to normal academics, intellectually, was made Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge University by intelligent but insecure people who wish to soothe their own emotions. It's absolutely shameful. I really do think that this is comparable to a kind of child abuse. And hopefully the result of this shameful episode is that nothing like this will ever happen again, and that you promote people on merit. If you promote people on merit, then you won't find that nothing like this will happen. You won't get someone who's incompetent and useless and a liar and a narcissist and a borderline in a position of power such that they can be publicly destroyed like this. But it must have been obvious to them, even when they appointed him, that he wasn't, that he was childlike, not very bright, not very mentally developed, and they did it anyway to make themselves feel better. At least people weren't killed like it was back when we had the proper aristocracy, as opposed to the inverted aristocracy. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and tally-ho, and remember to subscribe and all that. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?